Good morning. Let's open to Exodus 3. Exodus 3. I know we've been going through Exodus, but I want to revisit something in chapter 3. Let's read from verse 9 to 15. Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel have come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you... Excuse me. I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. And Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers have sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we just thank you for this morning, and we ask for your presence. God, teach us who you are in your character, and Father, we just ask, God, for revelation of who you are. So, Lord, we just ask for your blessing over this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning I want to talk about the name of God. It's really important to understand. This passage is quite confusing because it's like, I remember as a little kid, God's name is I Am. It's like, I am what? And as you know, as we talk about names, names are important and they mean things, but God's name is to find out God's name reveals his character, and it's essentially the basic essence of who he is. And so when you have a child, I don't know, depending on who you are, I guess you think very heavily about the name of this child because this is going to be this person's name forever. And if you were to ask each person, you know, what's the story behind your name, there may be a story, there may be not. You know, someone's name may be actually random, but I think for the majority of cases, there's a lot of thought that's put into naming a child or naming someone. Because that's what's going to be recognized. And some people, they change their name. You know, we see Jacob turn into Israel and Abraham. And there are reasons for that. It's because something significant happens in their life. And so their name represents who they are. And so maybe your parents give you a name and you didn't like it. And so you changed it to something that you liked. Maybe you're named after someone well-known or famous. Maybe you're named after someone in your family that you admire and respected. And so here we have this discourse about God's name. And just for the short time this morning, just want to give us a basic revelation of what God's name means. But the important thing is, here in verse 15, what I want to focus on, it says, God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord. Now you see, if you have your Bible and the Lord is all capitalized, it means Yahweh. Now, there are a lot of different names of God. There's Elohim, Adonai. But when it's capitalized in your Bible, it's referring to Yahweh, which translates to I Am. The I Am, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob, has sent me to you. And this is my name forever. And this is my memorial name to all generations. And that's what I want to focus on. Today, what God is doing is he's revealing himself, his name to Moses, and he's saying, Yahweh, the Lord in capitals, Yahweh, which is his personal name, Yahweh, this is my name forever. This is what I want people to know about me forever, and depending on your translations, from generation to generation. This is my memorial name. This is what I want the world to know for all of history. This name, Yahweh, I am. This is the name that I want people to know forever. And so this is an important thing, but we've got to realize what I am is. And for me, I have a lot of different names because I have different roles. And so, I mean, I have pastor, I have daddy, I have husband. Those are names, but I have a personal name, and my personal name is Eugene. And so God is saying, look, I have a lot of names, Adonai, Elohim, but I also have a personal name. Now, this is kind of weird or maybe uncomfortable to us because it's like God is saying, I give you the permission to call me, you know, Bob, you know, you know, in Asian culture, at least Korean culture, you're not allowed to call someone older than you by their personal name. I don't know if that's true in other Asian cultures, but at least in Korean culture, for example, children cannot call their parents by their personal name. It's disrespectful, you know, they'll get punished, slapped, whatever, or reprimanded, whatever. And so for me as a Korean American growing up, I remember one time, getting reprimanded for that. And taught that you don't do that. You call them. And even adults among themselves, they don't call each other by their personal names. They'll say, Eugene's mommy, or Elijah's mommy, or Elijah's daddy. They won't actually use a personal name. So I remember growing up as a kid, you know, just being cheeky and trying to, you know, test this theory out. And so I would call my mom by her name. And I remember her expression, you know, just going furious, you know, and just, you know, giving the backhand of fellowship, you know, to me. So I learned at a young age that you don't call the closest relationship that you have in your life, your mother and your father, you never call them by their personal name. You call them by title. It's very formal. And so when I'm reading this and I'm understanding this passage, it really changes my paradigm, and it's actually difficult for me to swallow or to embrace that God, the God of the universe, the being, the person that is larger than all of us, he's giving us permission to call him by his personal name. And in fact, the Jews found that, you know, the name of God so sacred that they would dare not ever say it, so they would never say the name of God. And so they would go around it. They would say, you know, things like Baruch Hashem in referring to God. In other words, bless the name. That's the translation. So they were forbidden to say the name of God because they felt it was so sacred and holy. But here in this episode with Moses, he's saying, I want you to tell people my personal name, Yahweh, I am. And this is the name that I want people to remember forever. And so that's a powerful declaration by God, that he's allowing us to know what his personal name is, and it's I am. And so Moses is asking, what should I tell the people your name is? And he says, I want you to give them my personal name, you know, I am. Now, I am is such a weird, you know, that's not really a name. That's kind of like a fragmented sentence. It's not even a complete sentence, or it's not a name. But what's interesting is that the reason why Yahweh is translated as I am is, if you look at grammar-wise, that I am is an imperfect grammar speak, imperfect word, meaning it's a continuing action. There actually should be an ing to complete that. So it actually should be better translated I aming, but in English that just sounds funny. That just doesn't, you know, sound right. I aming, you're aming. That does, maybe I'm being, but being, I being doesn't, you know, that's weird grammar too. But so the interesting thing is the name of God is not a noun like our names. That the name of God, Yahweh, I am, is actually a verb. And so he's saying, my name is a verb. It's a continuing action in the present that it's not I was. God is not saying my name is I was, that I'm finished, I'm done, and I no longer am with you. He's saying I am. We don't know what the future. He's not saying I will, even though he is past, present, future. He has no sense of time, but he's not saying my name is I will. He's saying I am. I am-ing. I am doing this. I am-ing right now whatever you need. And so his name is a verb, and that should give us revelation of who he is. That he is a continuing present action verb is his name. That I am continuing to be what you need me to be. If you need strength, I am-ing strength. I am-ing your strength. If you need peace, I am-ing your peace. Now, obviously, it's coming out of my mouth. It sounds silly, but that's what his name and what he's trying to communicate with his personal name. That the most intimate name of himself is that I am, and it's not I was or I will be. I am, and I am doing it now, and I will be, and I'm continually doing it. And so Abraham, remember, he's not a leader of the Israelites yet. He's asking God, I need to know your name because I need some credibility. I don't even know who you are. So tell me who you are. Tell me what your name is. You know, the first thing when we meet people and introduce ourselves, typically it's, hi, what is your name? You know, I'm meeting you for the first time. I'd like to know your name. Moses is saying, look, you know, you've called me. I don't even know who you are. You called me to lead the Israelites. What should I tell them? What's your name? And he says, I am-ing, and this is my name forever. This is my personal name, and this is my name, memorial name in the NASB, to all generations. And so he continues, but then I want you to turn to Exodus 34, and outside of Jesus Christ, I would say that this is the greatest revelation of who Yahweh is, who I am, the great I am, is outside of Jesus. Exodus 34, verse 6. Some background to as we fast forward, 33 chapters. Moses gets the Ten Commandments, from God, and he sees his people building a golden calf out of just anger and just holy indignation. He throws the tablets, destroyed, and then now he goes back up to the mountain to see God, and he makes a version 2.0 of the Ten Commandments. And so now God begins to speak, and he gives a revelation of who he is. Now, of all the things that God could reveal about himself, he reveals himself in such a way that I think maybe is counterintuitive to our understanding of God. That he begins to reveal himself, and if you look at let's look at verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord, as Moses called upon the name of the Lord. Then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, and this is what he proclaims, the Lord God, that's Yahweh, Yahweh, El. Now, why does he say his name twice? Well, he's swearing against himself. Now, why is he swearing against himself? Well, when you make a covenant and you swear in front of a higher authority, in a court of law, I don't know if they do this in Hong Kong, but you put your hand on the Bible, you raise your right hand, you put your other hand on the Bible, and the oath is, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, etc. And you put your hand on the Bible because you're swearing against an authority that's higher than yourself, promising, like, in front of this higher authority, I swear, this is the truth. This is what I'm going to do. But for God, there's no one higher than himself to swear against, an oath. So he swears against himself. He swears upon himself. So he says, Yahweh, Yahweh, El, the Lord, God. And then the next things he says is a revelation of who he is. And he says, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands and forgives iniquity, transgressions, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children and the grandchildren, the third and fourth generations. And so this is powerful. This is a powerful revelation of who he is and who he wants his people to know who he is. First he says, look, my personal name is Yahweh, I am. And he says, look, this is what I want my people to know, that my name for future generations, for all time. And now his revelation of who he is this is who I am. This is the first thing he says he is. The first thing he says he is in revelation to who he is. He says he's compassionate. The very first thing he wants people to know is I am compassionate. Yahweh, Yahweh El, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious. Now, I don't know about you, but before this revelation, if I were to ask you, okay, you know, what is your, you know, first, let's do word association. And, you know, when I say God, think of the first thing that comes out of your mind, you know, and I say God. And then, you know, we would all come up with different things. I think a majority of sort of young Christians or non-Christians or unbelievers would say something around, you know, something to the concept of a policeman or a judge or someone who's out to get you, or, you know, someone who is about keeping rules and punishment and Ten Commandments and things like that. You know, especially as a young believer, we are trying to live righteous and holy, and we're trying to live by the rules. And if we break those rules, we're scared that God is going to punish us because our understanding of Christianity is keeping all these rules and being good and being righteous, and scared that God is going to punish us for not being good. But what is powerful is that God's first revelation is, look, the first thing I want you to know is I'm compassionate. I am gracious. Not I am quick to anger, because I think as a young believer, I thought God was very quick to be angry. It's like, you know, I took an extra scoop of ice cream against my mom's wishes. Oh, no, I'm going to die. You know, oh, no, God's going to punish me. Or, you know, either lying to somebody or, you know, something, and you're like, oh, man, my life is over. You know, God is watching, and he's going to. The greatest thing about God watching, And this is a sort of great paradigm shift, is God is watching us. That's a definitive statement. God is watching you. And when you hear that, many of us kind of shriek in fear, like, oh, God is watching. God is watching. That is true, but my understanding of that changed after having a child. It's because after you have a child, you're constantly watching them. And you're watching them for many things, watching them so that they don't, you know, hit their head on a corner of a table and bleed. You know, you're watching them so that they don't eat dirt. You're watching them, you're constantly watching them. I mean, you have to watch them. But I would say the majority of the time I'm watching my child is not because I'm upset or angry or, you know, wanting to prevent him from getting hurt. I think the majority of the time I'm watching him is because, man, this guy is so precious and so cute and so amazing. Especially, you know, we enjoy watching him sleep. Now, it's like, okay, it's kind of similar to watching paint dry on a wall. It's like nothing's happening, nothing's moving. You're just watching paint dry. It's kind of, you know, why would you do that? You're watching your child sleep, and it's like, well, he's not doing anything. But it's just, you're watching because it's just so beautiful, so precious, so cute, so whatever. So, you know, you're admiring it, him or her. You're enjoying it. Yeah, God is watching you, not to police you, but because you're his child, and he sees you as precious and valuable and beautiful, and it's like amazing. And so he is watching you. But I always thought that God was watching me because, you know, he's trying to catch me in my crimes, you know, catch me in my sin and trying to punish. But this is an incredible revelation in Exodus 34 that he says, look, the first thing I want you to know is, first, I'm compassionate, I'm gracious, and I'm slow to anger. I am slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, abounding in love, and abounding in truth. Now, a lot of times we have a negative view of who God is, that God is this righteous judge, which he is, that he's this angry God, which he's not, that he's out to catch us in our crimes, which he does say that he will not let the guilty go unpunished, but first and foremost that he is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. And so that's what I want to meditate on this morning, is who God is, his personal name, that he is I Am in the present perfect, and that he is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. And so as we pray and meditate this morning upon who God is and his name, I want us to meditate in the fact that he is compassionate and he's gracious, that he's slow to anger, that no matter how deep your sin, even the sin of King David in his adultery, that he is compassionate and gracious. Even in the person, the friend of yours that is quite annoying, even the friend of yours that is, you know, that you just find really, really annoying and just really bothersome, that God is compassionate towards that person, that God is gracious towards that person, even towards the person who's offended you, even maybe to the spouse who's offended you, that God is compassionate and gracious to that person, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth. And may we take on that characteristic of the Lord. May we be molded into his image, that may we be compassionate, may we be gracious, may we be slow to anger, may we be abounding in loving kindness and truth. And so examine your heart as you meditate on God. Are you compassionate? Are you gracious? Are you slow to anger? Are you abounding in loving kindness and in truth? So let's pray together. Father, thank you for giving us your personal name, that you are a God who wants to be personally involved with us, that you want us to know you personally in a deep, intimate way, that you're not some God way out in space that is detached and far from us, but God, you are a personal God that we can know intimately and close, God. Thank you for your name. Thank you for revealing that you are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, help us to be just like that. Let's worship together.
Lord, let your glory fall as on that ancient day. Songs of enduring love. And then your glory came, and as a sign to you that we would love the same, our hearts will sing that song. God, let your glory come. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today. Voices in unison, giving you thanks and praise, joined by the instruments. And then your glory came, your presence like a cloud upon that ancient day. The priests were overwhelmed because your glory came. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today. A sacrifice was made, and then your fire came. they knelt upon the ground, and with one voice they praise. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today. And you are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today.
Let's thank the Lord for all that he's done. Let's pray for a community that is in need of healing. And let's thank the Lord that that he cares and he loves them. And so let's pray for them. Let's ask the Lord to do great and mighty things, things that are possible for him. Let's ask the Lord to give encouragement. And let's continue to pray for David So. Situation is not improving, and so let's keep him in prayer as we pray for healing. Pray for those who are not believers and are ill with some serious illnesses. And so let's lift them up and ask the Lord to open their eyes to see that they would see that, that Christ is salvation. So let's pray. Let's pray for them. Pray for those with other sicknesses and illnesses, and let's ask the Lord to heal them. Let's pray. Pray for those looking for jobs and employment, and ask the Lord to open up opportunities for them. And so let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for our mission focus for today. Let's lift up Indonesia for Phoebe Ministry and for our church in Kupang that we support. Also, we're in August, we're sending a team to go to Kupang to minister to them and serve them. So if you could pray for Phoebe Ministry and Pastor Salma and the team. Also pray for Singapore and SBSG, that the Lord would continue to sustain them and give them grace, and that the Lord would do great things in Singapore. So let's pray for these two nations right now. Lord, thank you, Father, for Indonesia. Lord, we just ask God, Lord, that your gospel will go forth. God, we pray for Phoebe ministry, God, and we pray for the sisters there, that they will go back and spread your word and spread the gospel. Lord, we pray for Coupon and the trip there. Lord, we pray that they would receive, Lord. Lord, we lift up SBSG. Lord, we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for them and what you're doing in their lives. God, would you provide a leader for them in Jesus' name? Let's pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for an Ozark SP Youth and an SPU, and ask the Lord to build them up, and pray for volunteers to serve, and that God would raise up volunteers and leaders in those ministries. So let's lift them up right now. Let's pray for our weekend activities. There's lots of stuff going on, and so let's ask the Lord to bless and to anoint those activities this weekend. So let's pray.
Jesus, we just thank you for your mercies, God. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you, God. Lord, we pray for just the classes. Lord, we pray for the outreaches. Lord, we pray for hospitality. Thank you for Ozark. We pray for Sunday service, God.
Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. There's three of them, Bel Air, Robinson Family, and MacDaddy, and ask the Lord to use this gathering to really build each other up, and that they would be able to minister to one another and lift each other up. So let's pray for the house churches today. Father, we thank you for waking us up and allowing us to be in your presence. Lord, I pray that that you'd speak to us in powerful ways, Lord. And we just, more than anything, we just want to be with you. Lord, you are the provider of all things. And Lord, though we have needs, Lord, we just want to sit at your feet. And we just want to honor and worship you. And we want to know you more. Lord, more than anything that you give us or ask, Lord, we just want to know you and we want to be with you, God. So, Lord, thank you that you're compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. God, we worship you today, and we devote our morning to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.